mean to make her cry. I don't think so. No, yeah, it's God. Yeah, all right. Amen. Good morning, friends. Lots of familiar faces. Rosalind, good to see you. Schoolmate. Okay, yeah, sorry. Suddenly, I never see her for so long. I never see her. Cool. Lots of friends here. Thank you. It's an opportunity, such a privilege to be here and just to share this devotion with you. And Luis did a great job. Thank you. I know you shared already, lah. You put it all in the perspective. Thank you to just be here. And I just want to be able to quickly share. It's my first time in a Charge Up conference. Last year, you mentioned, but I couldn't make it just to be part of it. And I'm not a media person. I enjoy media. I like messing with it and mess up the people who do it. Get that thing right, okay? Equipment not working, why? Speaker coming out. Yeah, so we mess up the team then doing it. Throw ideas like as if I'm very pandai. But I love media. I just think the whole arts is so God, right? God created, He spoke the words and the world came into being. He spoke us into being and it's just awesome that we can do what you're doing. And media today is, it's big time. In the world all around, everybody is using media, like all kinds of mediums, to communicate something. And you are here to communicate whatever that God has for the church and through the church, right, within and without, because the church has something to say. Amen? The people of God have something to say. The arts has to be restored back to the church or to, you know, the things that God has given. It doesn't belong to someone who's out there to spoil other people's lives through different mediums, but that the church would take back what is good and what is beautiful. The arts, it's something that God has given to us, and he is so creative. And that's why I really enjoy, I appreciate people who do stuff like this, very arty, very technical, very big time, not me. Okay, I just enjoy it. I was talking to my husband yesterday. We were away and I said to him, I was looking at this particular place, we were on a break, and I said, wow, do you think heaven will be anything like earth? You know, look at all this architecture, or, you know, just simple architecture. I wonder, would heaven have all of these things? And he said, you know, heaven's bigger time than this. It'll be paved with gold, pearly gates. I don't know what other precious stones. But I think it would look something like, God would not create the earth that would look totally different from what heaven is. But heaven would be many, many more times just pure, just cool, just, you know, just beautiful, you know, no blemish in it, no tears. And I do think about heaven. I do think, you know, at the end, they sang, shout to the Lord. But one day, every tongue will have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Every person who gets that opportunity to see heaven, you know, really, we will bow the knee. We'll be so thankful we made it. Even by the skin of our teeth, if we made it, we'll just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, whether we got 3 A's, you know, 10 A's, I don't know the A's are. But you know that going to heaven is not about how much we can do to gain God's grace, GCE, but that it's a free gift. And we, those of us who know Christ, has already received this free gift. And we continue to pursue God, so that we can see heaven, so that we can see Him and enjoy Him. And so this is just to think that God is very media law. Huh? Okay, God wants to attract us. God wants to show us Himself through various ways. And I do think about heaven. I do think about what you do through your gifts and through your talents that manifests something, that speaks about something, that connects people with God or with the things that are beautiful about God. Amen. And so I've got a little thing that to share here, but I want to share something with you about what you do if you're in this move, in this whole deal of media. Last year, I think I had the chance to be in Berlin because my the wife of the husband was speaking at a church, and we were taken to Belsenbergen, which is the concentration camp, one of the concentration camps where big time things happened in World War II. And you know, when you watch the videos, you just tears, and this feeling of you know, someone actually videoed this. This is 1940 whatever, 45, 44. these were people suffering. I mean, I could never imagine how the Jews would have suffered, or any other person, because it wasn't just Jews, they were prisoners of war. And they were all in this really, really bad conditions. And but having someone record these things gives us a vision into the past to look into our future of how human people are so precious, and that how evil a man could be or a woman could be. But just looking at what they went through just gave me a whole visual. It aided me, a visual aid, in understanding history, in understanding what people went through. It just brought tears. It just really, I just wanted to know the Bible more. I just wanted to study history. I love history. I like the arts. I love history. I'm a student of literature as well. It just captured my heart. And I just want to say, if you're doing whatever you do, whichever area of mediums that you use, it really captures something. It puts a story into a picture. It helps someone understand. It helps someone grasp hold of that message. I just understood history all the more better. I just understood again, you know, why, you know, how people went through the sufferings. Not just only the Jews, but of course their sufferings was really, really terrible. They especially suffered the most amongst all the prisoners of war. And but to hear the story of this man who was the videographer from the British Army. Thank God for the British who were being obedient, who walked into that camp, and that day they were the redeemers of the people there at Belsenbergen, the camp. As they walked in there, you know, they just like what Jesus did. When Jesus walked up, you know, to Satan, as it were, you see, you read it in Colossians chapter 3, he pulled down all his badges, he pulled down all his rights over mankind and said, there's grace for men and women to receive salvation. He said he tore down everything that, you know, that Satan stood for, that, you know, hey, you know, I've got men under my feet, I own them. But Jesus took down everything, all the badges that belonged to him, that he says that he, you know, he had a right over man. He took it down and said, of course, Satan said, they're not fair, no, not fair, no, I thought you did, really. But he said, God throws that extra currency, that's grace. And that same thing that happened, the British Army, you know, marched into that camp that day, and they just took over and they filmed just things that happened at that camp, and how women forgot that they were women and they walked around naked. They lost their brains. They just forgot that they were human beings because the way they were treated, animals. The men, you know, it's a horrifying note, and yet it just quickened in my heart. In my spirit, I mean, it helped bring words into life for me. Reading a history book became real now. Reading the books of Anne Frank became real in pictures. As this British videographer, who was part of the army, I mean, he's probably 20-something at that time, he's now probably 80 or 90 years old, he told the whole story of how he videoed these things. Hey, this is such a powerful medium that you are in. A medium that will help capture moments, scenes, you create, you help bring life to something, to the message, whether it's gospel, whether it's contemporary gospel, or I don't know. It's so wide. I'm not fully in it, but it's so wide what people are doing with music, what people are doing with, you know, the whole media. There's just so much. But if we would capture moments like these and things that would help people understand the gospel, understand life, appreciate mankind, celebrate life, you know, the pictures that they put up on the exhibits in that concentration camp also just brought life to it, the sufferings, even though it was a picture of suffering, but it was a picture that brought understanding to me. I've never been through any war, okay? I don't know what major suffering is. We all small toe already, pain is suffering. Yeah, one day don't eat suffering. But these people went through so much. And those pictures and those videos just brought life to me. I just want to encourage you to say that if you're in this line, it's a great line to be in, Lord. Whether you do it as a full-time work, your job, whether you're full-time in the ministry, you're doing it for your church, whether you're doing it for the larger church, there is a reason for it. I think it is going to just build up, you know, God just puts into you and it will birth forth something that will just speak through into our nation and the nations of the world. There's so many people are doing so many different things. You've got all kinds of documentations taking place. But hey, there's more to come. There's more that can be done that will best bring the message across. The message of life, the message of the truth of Christ, the message, just different messages that will promote life, that promote life in Christ and in that in God. What an awesome way to see yourselves as you are in, I do not know everybody here, I don't know what your giftings or what you do for a living, but just to be able to say, Lord, we stand in awe of a great God, we talk about a great, we shout to God, we sing these songs, yeah, you know, take hold of your calling, take hold of what you have, and really don't become history, as I always like to say, be history makers, make history with that gifting that's in your hand, show the world, show up what Christ has done through lives and through the stories that are very, very real. Amen? Because even a World War II story like that is okay, lah. You know, I mean, what gospel thing you get out of it? Well, I got out of it that people suffering, how the enemy just took over, and how when someone comes to redeem, it's like that story of Christ and the church, Christ in the world, and how much, why now they have started human rights is for such things. So, where's God? The media. The media helped us put those things into action. It helped us see, and we woke up. So, whatever you're doing today, in the areas of your gifting, and wherever you're doing it, is very, very important. It really paints a picture. It helps us carry forth. Even in biblical times, as I will bring some references, and then just some quick points for those involved in this, for anybody involved in this. Bible times, I don't know whether they had camera law. I don't know if they had a video thing, but men of all have always recorded. You get drawings on the wall. But biblically, just looking at some charita in the Bible here and things that really happen, there were the two names that you will read, okay, depending which version you read, New Living, the Message, or the King James. There are two words you will see there, very important words, and it just struck me, very important to share this with you. Very important for me to realize that. Two words, two types of people who do these things. Number one, they're in the Old Testament, they like to say that there's a recorder, not the tape recorder, but a recorder, a royal historian, and two, a scribe or a court secretary. All right, there were two of these people that existed in the whole Bible times. Somebody had to write this, right? Okay, so I don't think Moses wrote about himself. Moses was a very humble man. Okay, you read that in Exodus, in the book of Exodus, says Moses was a very humble man. So I don't think Moses wrote that. How big of him to write that? Maybe it was Joshua. I don't know. But there was someone who was a recorder, someone who was a scribe, a scribe were people who wrote scriptures. So they, scribe, someone who wrote, and they took account. They put things into perspective. They chronologically wrote things out. Some of the arty people, not very detailed, and things are not very correct. Anything happens, and yeah, here, there, everywhere. Okay, but there are people who chronologicalize stuff. Okay, and put it in order. And in Bible times, if you read, there's so many scriptures, but a lot of it happened during King David's time. I mean, throughout the Bible, because you have you start from Genesis all the way to Revelation, somebody recorded it. But the word that was used, it was first mentioned many times, a lot of it happened in the book of Samuel. Okay? And so I have so many, but I'll just throw out one for you so at least you can say you turn to one scripture lah. Huh? This pastor never give scripture. Okay. Aha. All right. Second Samuel, chapter 8, verse 18. Okay, let's just have a look at it. Just so that you know that it's there. There are lots and lots of references. Second Samuel chapter 8. Are you there? Verse 16. If you're there, say yes. Cool. Can come a live one now. You're media people, right? Oh, you work on behind the computer. No sound one. Cool. Okay. I'm very interactive speaker, so I cannot have quiet. Oh, tau leh, no. Yeah, so that's my insecurity. It's my problem. Okay, fine. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse... Are we there? Yes. Okay. It says, yeah, I couldn't read. No. Well, need specs. Okay. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abithiah, were priests. Sariah was the scribe. And verse 18 just goes on. Say, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over both the Cheritites and the Pelatites, and David's sons were chief ministers. Written, you have various references, but I've taken this. This was during King David's time. In verse 16, it says Jehoshaphat was the recorder, and Sariah was the scribe or the court secretary. People like these and many more, there are many recorders. There are different verses, like even in 2 Samuel 20, 24, 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 3, 2 Kings 18, 18, 2 Chronicles 34, 8. Mention the word recorder, all right? A historian, someone who recorded stuff. Now, these are in words, perhaps they drew pictures. I don't know what many recorders write. They wrote stuff. It gives us something to refer to, okay? And today we have more than the media has grown, technology has grown, thank God. Okay, we have the World Wide Web, we have things put in onto the World Wide Web where we are able to extract and get information. Praise God for that. And many are being reached by the gospel through these as well. You're able to showcase your work, you're able to use this in your church, every week's announcements, etc., etc. You have a lot of fun doing it. But you see, even in David's time, he had a system. If you read through the life of David and how he reigned as king, he had things in order. There were people who wrote history. They took down, you know, they recorded these things down. They had scribes who put down things in chronological order. And it gives us today the ability we actually be able to look back and say, oh, this is how it all happened. And that's written information. Today, we are dealing with not just written, we need the writers too, right? Right? We need copywriters, we need all these people. But we also have them recorded on film, on digitals, on... I'm so limited in my vocabulary for this. I don't know. Okay, there are more things today already. Cool. So, you've got all this media stuff, technology being used. And it must be for again, God has called you out to do this. Praise God. Whether you do it for a living, whether you do it for ministry, it still has a purpose. So, rah, celebrate that. It's not from the devil, okay? All right. Yeah, when the World Wide Web first started, we all thought, you don't go to the net, you know, terrible things come out of it. Yes, there are terrible things, but why don't we just seal it all and take it back and do the right things? Amen? And don't buy into the wrong things, lah. Okay, don't be part of all that porn and all that. So, the camera can be used for better things, okay? And that's what you're doing here. Today, we have all of these things that just helps promote the work that the church has. The church is not a poor church mouse. The church is rich in the resources that God has given. The church has a voice and she should speak up. And it's not just to people who just speak like this, but come on. Let's use the medium that God has given us. Let's restore it back in the right place. Amen. So all of you are interested in it, who are in it, already doing it big time, go bigger time with it. Go all the way in producing stuff that will really speak forth the message of God's love, God's grace, the truth that people need to hear and to be set free. Good recordings help. Good sound helps. Bad sound, nobody want to listen. Okay, that's why when we do concerts, when we first started years and years ago, like those years, we paid for our sound system. We never stinged on our sound system when we did concerts. Because what's the use of having bad sound system and have great bands and bad sound system? Who are you going to reach? What your song can't be heard. You know, what's the point of, you know, putting out a small screen and have small video? Come on, go big time. We need to be willing to spend. I think the church needs to wake up into the area of media and use it for all the right purposes and take it back, not use for all the wrong purposes and people get thrown into a whole bad chasm of bad stuff, you know lah. So, but we want to say that I celebrate that. I think it's so important. I wish I knew more technical words to use, but I don't. I just appreciate it and I champion this cause, do it well. But having said that, I want to say 5 points to you as you as those of us who are involved in this sort of a ministry, and whether we do it for a living, I want to bring back some thoughts, some maybe some qualities that you want to take hold of. Because you do this 24/7 for some of you, and some of us do it every Sunday or whatever we work, we do this. But it's a reminder, not just, it can be for any person. These few qualities, I speak it to myself as well, and I, how much more I need to grow in it. Some qualities, firstly, even as you want to move deeper into this area and this a line of work, as well as a ministry, that will just, you know, help promote a better presentation, better, you know, better way to communicate message. But first, I want to look at the man or woman that's behind that doing those things. Number one, there's a scripture in Exodus chapter 31, verse 1 to 5. And I want to use this person in relation to all of us. His name is Bezalel. Bezalel was chosen by God in the time when Moses was going to build the temple. Bezalel was just, hey, could be you or me, yeah. But what makes these men skillful? I believe it's just the Spirit of God. God breathes into each and every one of us these giftings. And if you read it, let's read it. Exodus 31. It says here, 31:1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. To design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. If we were to turn it around for the skill that you and I are involved in, whatever that we're doing, whatever we have in our hands, surely it is God who has given it to us. It's definitely not something that we could have birthed it on our own. Oh, you know, natural gifting. Even natural gifting must have come from a giver of that gift. And reading this scripture, I'm thinking as we put it in line with what you are doing in this area, hey, may God fill you with His Spirit, with the wisdom and understanding, the knowledge and how to produce, how to edit, how to bring forth the best so that you could communicate something through your works. It talks about artistic design, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, it was to the Spirit of God was to give to these men or women to work in all manner of workmanship. And using this man, Bezalel, I was very inspired to read of that God would choose someone like Bezalel and give him that and anoint him to do. How much more each of you look at each other and say, hey, you're like a Bezalel. look like each other. Hello, you're a Bezalel. Okay, you have been given that gifting to do something that would, as I said, it's a form of communication, a form of recording so that people may be able to follow through. Others may be able to see, learn, get excited about, want to follow at the end of the day. I mean, the message, keep the main thing is to bring people to know God. Amen. And so the first thing that I noted here, when God chose Bezalel, He chose him out of the tribe of Judah. Judah is the word, root word for praise. I think what Junyan said in a prayer this morning, we got to come back to that place where we need to be worshippers. Even as someone who, I do pastor people, I do different things, I still need to come back. I'm a worship leader in my church. I still need to come back to the place where I'm first the worshipper, not the worship leader. I'm first the praiser who connects back to my maker. I walk my faith. And isn't it just not a coincidence that God would choose Bezalel from Judah? Judah was a tribe that would first move out when they went out to war. So we need to come to that place of understanding our gifting. But in order to understand our gifting, we need to know our giver of the gift, our creator. That you would always, always remember. Sometimes we forget. I forget. But we try to always, always come back to that center, your centrum. Is that you are that worshipper. You are the worshipper that worships a great creator who gives you unending creativity. I think creativity, creativeness is truly of God. It's just how man you will use it for good or will use it for bad. So if you captivate it and capture it and take it back, violently take it back and say it's for the kingdom and for the right use, isn't it awesome that you would be able to worship God with your gifting and recognize His giving? He is the one who gave it to us. Just that centrum, come back to that centrality of your faith. Because while we're very, very good with our skill, we can forget the central focus. It's God who gave it to us. I need to connect back with my Creator. I need to be that praiser, that worshipper. Amen? That is a very, very strong point. Even as we worship this morning, oh, the presence of God, so awesomely felt, sensed. He wants, first of all, for us to connect back in our worship to Him, even as we give of our talent or wherever we use it, even in our work. You know, some of you become top of your line. You know, you're the best, whatever, wherever and whatever you're doing. It's not wrong to be the top, because it just means God has anointed you for it. Amen. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me for." There's so many things He's anointed us for, to heal the sick. But some of us can't be there to heal the sick. Come on, let's record it and give it to someone and watch it and still get healed over a video. Amen? Wow. And if you've never been on a mission trip, watch a video. You will say, hey, it can happen here. So God has anointed you for this task. Then be the best. Bezalel was the best. God chose the best. And each of us can be the best at what we can do. We need to hone it and we need to grow it, which would be my next point. Secondly, not very spiritual, but yet spiritual, I think. We need to be skillful observers and listeners. Skillful, not simply be just someone who just hear, watch. No, look at girls, observe them properly. Okay, understand how they work. Okay, and we're going to, you know, take a good picture, you know, we're going to video something, you know, it takes skill, and you need to skillfully observe situations, circumstances, the news, what's happening in our nation. These can be documented for very, very important purposes, whether in writing or in, you know, all this technical thing, I don't know what's the word. Okay, we are given this skill in order to capture moments, in order to create or recreate, so that others will capture this in our hearts, that we want change, that we want to, you know, really just, it helps people get from point A to B. For someone who never saw the picture, today they get to see it. Just like me, I can read history, but being there helped me catch the whole scene of World War II and the prisoners of war. And that really struck a chord in me to really think about the earth today, where people are suffering, or the fighting for the rights of men, but today is the rights of people to get into heaven and to know God. And we suffer. And so to me, we need to be skillful observers. Don't just do a video. Don't just do an announcement video. Observe what will carry that message through. Everything we do is about communication, isn't it? Marriage is about communication. Church is about communication. Why do we not have grace when we miscommunicate? It is about communication. We need to be skillful observers and listeners. I'm learning this every day. Still be good at this. Thirdly, while you might be good with what you do, very important little thing here, it's called management. You all need to be managers. And management is very important. You need to manage various things to produce well. So you can't just stand behind a camera and just hold the camera and stand. You need to move the camera when the person speaks. You need to move it up. I watch my guys who do the video in church. I'm like, hello, people there lah, there. You know, move. Di sini. Alright. Why are you there? When I say, oh, look, our speaker's here for today. The camera's still on my face. Hello, there. You know, it takes an eye for managing. You got to manage. We manage many things. We manage our emotions. We manage our money. Now when we talk about skill, manage your skill. We need to grow in it. Amen? We need to organize. We need to manage our time. We need to bring discipline and order in the emo artistic part of us. All right, okay. I work with musicians all the time. They are very emo. You know, I'm a musician. Hey, musicians that serve God need some discipline. Don't give me I'm an artist, I'm a muso. So therefore, I don't need discipline. No such thing, okay? Even God has order. order in the house of God. All right? But the way he does it, God is so, God is gracious. Yeah, but we are little bits of God, right? Little Christ. So there has to be some form of management, organization, and discipline. Otherwise, you will lose your tapes. You will lose. I've got people who ask them to take photos, and then the photos are gone, lah, Louis. Where? Tak tahu lah. I paid a few ringgits, thousands of ringgits. Tak tahu mana. Okay, very good. You're not serious with your job. Tells me about the seriousness of how you take your skill. How serious are you? Do you record them? Do you manage it? Do you order them so that you can then hand it out, pass it on, get it over to the next person? Because I just like playing with the camera. That doesn't make you skillful. Okay, people who just like taking camera work, don't go anywhere further than the camera front. If we want to take it far, we need to have some management. So remember that. God also puts in us the spirit to manage. I'm sure you know that. Just a reminder. We all need that. Fourthly, because we are so like that arty emo, sometimes, and it happens to people, most of us, we need to kind of like divide the gift, from who you are. I have to remind myself all the time, don't allow the gift to define you. All right? I'm a worship leader. Do I allow worship leading define me? So if I take off the mic and don't lead worship anymore, does that make me less a person? Sometimes. We get there. We are behind something. I tell worship leaders who like to become Chris Tomlin, carry the guitar and lead worship. Say, can you lead worship without the guitar? Cannot lah, naked. It's just so one with the... Oh, I know, it's good to be one with your instrument, I always tell them. Because you're really in. I tell my musician, come on, get with it, man. Either you're a drummer or you're not a drummer. No, get to your drums, but you don't carry your drums everywhere. But the guitarist has the guitar with them. Cannot lead worship without the guitar. Okay. Can you test yourself or not? Divide the gift from who you are. I think it's something that's ongoing. All of us, we get insecure. We're mostly insecure. We're all insecure people. So I guess when we come into the love of God and His beautiful gift of salvation that we daily work out by fear and trembling, that we learn to find our security first in Christ, and that our gift doesn't define us, that if we had to take away something, we'd still be Sandra without the pastor in front. It's just a name there, that's all. I should be able to be normal. I am pastor. I should be pastoral without the PR in front. That's just a given lah. Because there. But if I don't have it, will I still do my pastoral? I think truly I should, because I really want to care for people. I don't have to have a title. So divide that gifting. And because when we don't, we learn very hard lessons. We learn very, very hard lessons. And when people don't call you by name or don't address you or forgot that you are camera person or video, and you get upset. And don't you know? Don't you know? I don't know. Bila? Kya ka? Oh, tak tahu lah. So, we kind of like, we're so one with our instrument or our gift. We forgot that out of it, I'm just Chunyan. And I can cry. Yeah? And, I'm Louise. I don't have to go to the castle there. There was another castle waiting. Sometimes we need to take it off just to remember we're worshippers. And then we truly appreciate the Creator who's given it to us. It's a lesson that we learn ongoing. I say that because I go through it. Sometimes we get better at what we do. We move on. And then we have to let go. And when you let go, you're like, what do I do now? And sometimes you might not always be behind the camera. You might not always be editing. You might not always be copywriting. When we take that off, can you still be normal and worship God? And eat mama food, okay? Divide the gift from who you are. We remind ourselves all the time. All the time. It's just anybody who's doing such an important job. Cool. Fifthly, it can be a whole message by itself, but I don't have the whole message. I'm only giving a part of the message. There's this little word. I think it's a conjunction in the grammar. It says, I need to refer you to a portion of scripture. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. Why do I want to bring this? I'll tell you why. Afterwards, okay? I think it's in 2 Kings 3, 3. It's about King Solomon. If you find it, let me know. I think. Please say it is. Is it 2 Kings 3, 3? 1 Kings, sorry, 1 Kings 3, 3. I'm getting my kings mixed up. Many kings. If you're there. Okay, yeah. You there? Cool? Right. Now, we're going to look at Solomon. It's a whole message in itself, but I'm not going to be preaching the whole message. Just want to bring some attention to all of us. In verse 3, it says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David." This is word again, except. Except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Except. We need to deal with the excepts in our lives. We need to deal with the excepts. King Solomon loved the Lord. Except. And you know the ending of King Solomon, very sad one. He became a very grumpy old man and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, thinking he was very wise. But in it, he said everything is vain, 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 vain. Vanity, vanity, vanity. Very sad ending. I think I bring this across because I believe we all want to run the long distance and finish the race. Many will start well but end badly. It's not about how we start, friends. While we're in the journey, we need to finish well. I don't think Solomon finished really that well. He was the wisest man on planet Earth. But still, he had accepts. He had 300 over concubines and wives. How do you do them one every day? I don't know. You know, you got to deal with the accepts in your life so that you live a longer... Well, not the long life, like live until 100 years, but live a fruitful quality life. What are the exceptions in our lives that we don't deal with? And we need to, and it's for every man and woman on planet Earth. If we say we love the Lord, we love the ministry, we love doing music, we love doing camera, we love doing all the videos, editing and so forth and so on. Why I talked about moving away from the gift and coming back to yourself, because only in that secret place are you open before God to deal with these accepts. Could be our temperament. We can lose our temper very easily. We're not very patient. We glutton. We eat a lot, which when we shouldn't. We spend on new toys and more new toys. That's an exception. We love the Lord, but you know, I can't give permissions because I need to buy this new Mac bit to add to that bit so that it's much better bit. All right? You know, the Mac lovers, you know, the equipment people, we buy new toys. Not wrong, but if it becomes the exception, like I love the Lord, but I need to get the bit. I love the Lord, but Solomon didn't deal with his lust. Right, yeah, 300. I mean, how can you deal with 300 wives? Was it 3,000 or 300? There were so many concubines. There are excepts in our lives. No one here can point a finger and say that I can't, because I have excepts that I'm having to deal with. To not so that I be a better pastor, because take off the pastor, I'm just like everyone else. I am like everyone else, a child of God. And I want to finish the race. You and I want to finish the race. We can produce great videos, friends. We can do great photos. We can do great copywriting. But if we don't make it and we don't finish the race, like Solomon, it's all because of the accepts. Except that I just couldn't take the Holy Spirit thing. Except that I just couldn't let God touch that part of my life. Still want to have that woman or man. Nothing wrong. Better have a man or woman. But if it's God has touched that part of your life, then let's give it up to God and let Him come in and let Him work in us. There are a lot of things that no one else will see. These are the secret things only you and God will see. No, not even your wife will know. Not even your best friend, your girlfriend, no. those secret things, God gives us time to deal in the secret place because he wants us to go the long distance. And God comes into us and he speaks to us those little things. It could be a temperamental thing, you know, your temper, and then, or, you know, demanding and shouting, thinking that, you know, that that's it. You know, it's just one of those things, you know. But let's allow our hearts to be humbled. Come back to the place where we're able to just say, God, yeah, here's the gift. Here's the terror position. But I think I need to deal with this area of my life. Temper. Pride. Pride creeps in on us. You never know when, but it just creeps in on all of us. I used to say when I was 17, I used to say, I don't understand why adults can't forgive. It's so easy to forgive. Why do we need to be unforgiving? I'm an adult now. It's quite hard to forgive when people hurt you. You know, quite hard to close the eye and say, oh, yeah, never mind, after all, we're all going to heaven. We're on earth. You know, I mean, it's just being really, really real. Every person, pastor or not, reverend or not, you get hurt. At 17, I remember praying in my prayer closet, you know, and I just said, it's so easy to forgive because God forgave. Why should I ever be unforgiving, whole bitterness, don't? And then when I became an adult, I'm quite an adult now, more adult than I used to be. And I think sometimes it's not because I don't want to forgive, because there are insecurities that we need to deal with. These are the accepts we must allow God to come in. And sometimes he sends a man or woman to irritate you. But never mind. Because the more we open our hearts to the Lord and the working of his Spirit, we are just being transformed. And so that we can do great stuff on this end and yet be a great man and woman of character who will just not only speak and make a loud noise, we mean it and we have things to substantiate for it. Substance. Not make a loud noise and do great stuff, but in the corner there suffering with all these little secret sins. Deadly, I must say. We could miss heaven altogether. I don't want us to miss heaven. I don't want to miss heaven. So I have to deal with my accepts. Amen. Quick, just 5 points to leave with you. Even while I talk about being great, whatever, all these media stuff and produce and go all out, and I celebrate that with you, I also recognize that we are still men and women that need to walk on planet Earth, and we need to finish the race. And I charge each of us, including myself, even up until the time I slept and I woke up, I was still thinking about different things that I had to deal with. People that I need to deal with, my personal issues that I deal with, because I deal with people every time. How do I handle the situation? And yet, speak on Sunday, you know. Terrible, huh? So always have to keep the heart clean. Go up and preach on Sunday. How? I gotta get it all right, cleaned up, and account to somebody. Yes, I felt this way. Repent and say, yep, pray for me. And so that I know that I'm very much flesh and blood, and I need God's grace, and I need other people who really, really love me to tell me I was wrong. Deal with that exception so that I can be the best pastor I could be, or the best friend I could be, or best wife I could be in wherever God has placed us. Amen? So isn't that cool that you can be all that you can be? God's given you this talent. But yet he's so kind, he wants to also deal with the little things that make it even better. So God sees, there's this beautiful song called God Sees the Best in Me. God sees the best in each and every one of us. Even you don't think you're very bestest in it, but God sees the best in each of us. And he calls us to himself. And these 5 points there, just he calls us to himself. And we come and we accept the best that he has for us. And we become the best that he wants us to be. Isn't that beautiful? Because I don't think we look at each other and think we all think we are the best. But to look at someone else and think, you're the best. Those really got no talent will say, yala, you're the best. But when you have some talent, you hold on to it and you think, God, is it possible? Yes, we let it go and let God see what we really are. Because he already loves us. Amen. Shall we stand and close this time in prayer? And believe. And if you're going through whatever that may be true of what I've said, most of us human beings go through it. So it's true. when we don't tell anybody. But let's bring our hearts before the Lord. Amen. Like I said, make an altar without the music. Huh? That tells you how secure you are. We always need music, you know. And our worship leader always asks for music. But we don't need music today. Just silent heart before God. And say, God, you see the best in me. You see the best in me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this morning, for the great company of people here who have been gifted, talented in so many ways, Father. I don't even have the right words to call out their giftings, but you do. Father, we lay at the start of this wonderful conference, Lord, that we lay down our own personal expectations about ourselves, how other people will see us, but that we would, in our quiet, silent, heartfelt moment with you, realize that, God, you already see the best in each and every one of us. You said that you think about us all the time, like the sands on the seashore that can't count them, Lord. Those are your thoughts towards us. Your thoughts towards us are great. And we have nowhere to hide. We just need to be open before you. And we receive all that you have in the healing of our wounded hearts, in our insecurities, in our fight to be the best, in a world that's always ratting away, Lord. We can hold our head up and look to you and say, I'm a child of God. God is my friend. He sees the best in me. Surely I can take the next step with confidence and with the grace that he affords me. Father, for every friend, brother, sister here, man, woman, Lord, we are men and women that need God's grace all the time. Even when we do something so well and we're the best in our line of work, we still, when we recognize you and when we say, this is my weakness, this is my insecurities, Father, would you come and close us over. Envelop us in your love. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that your grace would just touch us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see every heart. Friends, right where you're standing, your heart is open before his presence. And would you just give up just different things? One thing maybe that's troubling you right now. One thing that you know needs to be let go of because he loves you and wants our God just keeps wanting the best. And I just want to say, just like I struggle with different things, I've also learned to surrender. Just surrender it, dear friends. Just surrender. Because our Father loves us. He doesn't come to judge us. He's come to give us time, chance, and opportunity to just respond to him. Thank you, Lord. Father, seal every heartfelt thought right now, and every thought right now that is just being thought in the minds of these men and women, your children. Captivate it, Lord. Capture it. And I pray that they would remember you bring healing. You bring their desires to pass. Lord, you open even bigger opportunities for those who are able to take on more. And for those who are dealing with different issues, Father, may they be still in your presence and find comfort and confidence in you. Thank you, Father, for the very gift that you've given to us. May that gift promote more of you and cause us to grow in you and not ever rob us and rob that very joy of serving you. Father, take every heaviness, every frustration in Jesus' name. Take it away. Father, remove every heaviness and every frustration that has ever been felt in the course of doing the work that they do, whether with their fellow church members or in their workplace or those who run their own businesses, Father. They would take on the lightness of your yoke with such grace and such joy. Father, we want to serve you willingly. Truly, the word is, you were a servant. How much more we ourselves to serve you and those around us. Help us, Father, to be like you, to really just pick up our cross and follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for these precious men and women who, Lord, would just seal everything in you as you seal those promises into their hearts by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless.